Hello, everybody, and welcome to the EstroProds.com Game of Thrones spoiler cast. Today, let's talk about Episode 7, A Man Without Honor. I am your host, the Dead Man. You know, today we have Shax.
Diablo 3.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, what do you think of the episode?
It was good.
It's hard to come up with this kind of stuff like week after week.
This was an alright episode. It just I don't know, I guess the last couple have been better. I mean, like the last one, you know, we were saying that it was a really good episode, but mostly because of the funny shit that happened in it.
Yeah. But they had some decent stuff happening in Harrenhal with Arya and Tywin, and it was actually pretty cool with all the stuff that happened in Qarth.
What happened in Qarth? Which one is that?
In Qarth, it's, So let's start with Qarth, then.
Alright.
So, having lost her dragons, Daenerys has difficulty trusting Zorro when he tells her he did not take them. Later, Ser Jorah Mormont returns from his search for a ship and vows to find them. He seeks out the mysterious Quaes, I guess that's her name? The lady with the face thing?
Sure. Yeah.
Who knows much of the dragons and the relationship between Jorah and Daenerys. She informs Jorah, although she does not have the dragons, Daenerys is currently with the one who does. At a meeting of the 13, Piat Pri tells Daenerys that he has her dragons in the House of the Undying. Shortly after his revelation, Zorro, with the aid of Pri, proclaims himself King of Qarth. Pri, having multiplied himself around the room, assassinates the remaining 11 members of the 13, and Daenerys flees with Mormont and Kavaro.
I just want to say right now that this episode with the shit that happens here in Qarth is... It really makes up for everything for so far this season of this constantly being a flat line.
Yeah, like, it was just... Yeah, it kind of just went from, like, 0 to 11 like that.
Right, exactly, yeah.
And it was really cool. Like, I wasn't entirely sure about, like, the powers that that Pri had.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was just... It's actually kind of creepy. Like, he was like, we have your dragons at the House of the Undying. Please, just come by. Then he multiplies himself and kills everyone. And, like, he keeps saying, come to the House of the Undying. And, like, get your dragons, come to the House of the Undying, come to the House of the Undying. And just, like, keeps multiplying himself.
Yeah.
It's kind of creepy.
It was very creepy, yeah. I mean, and like, he's got this shriveled old man... looks like balls, looks to him that's creepy, and... Yeah. Yeah. And the whole thing with the multiplying of himself, they showed that in one of the episodes before.
Yeah, but like,
where he does it real quick, but it looked like it was just kind of like parlor trick kind of stuff.
Yeah, and I wasn't even entirely sure if it was like multiplying. It may have just been like the House of the Undying is just made up of like siblings that are all like the exact same or something.
I just kind of like chalked it up to like, oh, he has a twin brother or something.
Yeah, kind of, you know? Something like that.
Yeah, but then, yeah, in this episode, seeing him like, you know, like basically like 11 other of him just all be there at the table cutting all those people's throats. It's like, holy shit.
Yeah, and then like he stabbed, like the Kavaro or Mormont, they like stab him in the stomach and he just disappears and his clothes just fall down to the ground and you just see him standing right in front of him. It's like, you should come to the House of the Undying.
Yeah, everything about that was cool and very creepy.
Yeah, it worked well.
Yeah, and like, yeah, for the first time this season what's her name?
Daenerys,
yeah. I finally was like, holy shit, like, please tell me more.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I can't wait to see what happens next.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually kind of want her to go to the House of the Undying now.
I know,
like,
yeah.
Just to see what the fuck that thing is.
Yes.
And maybe see her get drunk on some blue juice. Ugh. So, what to do next? Let's go with Winterfell, I guess.
Okay.
Prince Theon awakes in the morning and finds the wildling Asha gone from his bed. When he arrives outside, he discovers one of his men has been killed, and Bran, Rickon, Hodor, and Osha have fled Winterfell in the night. While berating his men for the escape of the children, he is challenged by Black Lauren for sleeping with the wildling. Theon brutally beats Lauren and then begins a hunt for the two boys and their companions against the wishes of Maester Luwin. That's the old man with the thing. After arriving at a farm, Theon is displeased to learn the dogs have lost the trail, but Dagmar discovers walnut shells in the farmyard, indicating Bran and Rickon may have passed through. Theon then orders Luwin back to Winterfell so he may interrogate the farm owner. After returning from the hunt, Theon calls people to the town square, and after Luwin's arrival, he reveals to them two charter mages who he claims are Bran and Rickon. So he torched some kids.
I was kind of confused by this, because this whole thing kind of happened in two different scenes.
Mm-hmm.
So who are the kids? They're not who he says they are.
No, they were the children of the farm owner. Like, remember when the Theon and them first showed up at the barn, and then like the two kids ran inside.
Oh yep.
So it killed them and torched them.
Oh, okay.
Now I kind of like him.
You son of a bitch.
No, I still fucking hate this guy.
But was Theon didn't tell him to do that, right? Because when he reveals the burnt bodies later, the look on his face is like, oh my god.
Yeah, it wasn't really like a surprise for him. Like, he did it. I'm pretty sure he did it, but he like regretted it. Like, his men, like the guy who's been like telling him to do all this stuff, may have like strong handed him into doing it. It's like, all right, so you need to send these people a message, a clear message that if they fuck with you, this was what will happen. And then he's like, all right, so burn the children. Yeah, like when he didn't look, it wasn't so much as oh my god face. It's like, oh, it was like an oh my god, like a surprise thing. It's like, oh my god, what have I become? He looked like he was gonna throw up.
Yeah, there wasn't really much here, other than that,
But yeah, but with Bran, you know, he's at least had some honor and all. Like, he actually was against going to get anyone for help because he actually cares for his people.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, there's not much.
I do want to know. It does seem odd, you know, that like it's been like two episodes now, I think, since Rob has sent people to go there to take care of shit. And even in this episode, Theon was saying like his sister was going to be here soon with a bunch of men. And even from the first season all the way through to now, it always feels like people get to where they're going really fast.
Yeah.
And so this has been like two episodes, or about two episodes now, of these people being on their way and not getting there yet. And it's like, it just feels kind of like something's thrown off with that. Like, yeah.
Yeah, it's a bit. But I guess they're just doing it for tension or something.
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah. Okay, so, Beyond the Wall. John continues to search for his companions with his prisoner, Ygritte, in tow. When Ygritte deduces that John has never been with a woman and learns that he's taking a vow of celibacy, she is dumbfounded and tries to convince him that life would be better with the wildlings under Mance Rayder. John remains true to his vows and rebuffs her repeatedly. While crossing a muddy passage, Ygritte is able to slip away from John and make her escape. John pursues her but is unable to find her until she whistles to him, at which point several wildlings reveal themselves, thus capturing John.
This is the second time Jon Snow has gotten himself into a situation where the show is doing it. Like, he's captured by them, but it's like they don't pursue that anymore in the show. And it's like, by the time the show ended, I'm like, but I want to know more about what happened to Jon Snow.
Yeah, so we should come back next week.
Yeah. I mean, it reminded me of the situation he got himself into where he was watching that one dude bring his baby son out to the woods, and then he like knocked him in the head, and that's where the show ended. It's like, but what more?
Yeah, but hey, it means you're coming back for next week.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I like Ygritte.
I don't care. I don't know. Like, I have, like, zero opinion on her. Other than she's fucking with my man, Jon Snow. I ain't cool with that.
Yeah, she does kind of bring up a point of, like, remember the point where, like, Jon's saying, like, I'm the son of Ned Stark, and, like, I have the first people's blood in my veins. Like, then why are you fighting with, then why aren't you fighting with us?
Yeah, she did say some, interesting things there. Kind of revealing more about wildlings and their way of life.
Yeah, it's like wildlings are kind of the Native Americans of this world.
Yeah, and it was kind of like the first time it was like brought to my attention that they're not just savages that kill anything and everything that is out there, you know, that they're just basically trying to do their own thing. I don't even know what's going on. Like, I don't even know why they left their little place at the wall at the end of the first season. They started going out and as a big giant group, and now they split off into another subgroup. And there's a lot there that I'm just not understanding.
Yeah, I think they went up to go like deal with the wildlings and Mance Rayner.
Okay.
Like do something with him, or it might have something to do with the white. It might have something to do with the White Walkers because they're coming back now.
The one attacking, what's his name?
Yeah, one attacking Lord Commander.
Yeah.
You know, and they broke into a second group as, like, a scout guys to go deal with the wildling encampment that was following them.
Okay.
Which is where Jon met Ygritte.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure, like, I feel like I'm in the same situation I was with the first season, which is there's a lot of things that I wasn't catching all the way until I did a marathon, basically, of the first season. And watching them all back-to-back, I was able to... Not only watching it again, but watching them back to back was like, oh, I'm catching way more than what I did watching them week by week when they first released. So maybe when season two is done and I do the same thing with that, I'll catch more of this and be like, okay, I get this now.
Yeah, there's a lot happening in this show at any one time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, moving on to King's Landing. So, Sansa thanks the Hound, Senator Clegane, for saving her during the riots, but her thanks is met with a cold reception. Later, Sansa is awakened by a nightmare of the riots, and she discovers that she has bled, which means that she will soon have to bear Joffrey's children. When she discovers her trying to cut the blood from her sheets, she begins to aid her, but is then discovered by one of the queen's handmaidens, who rushes to tell the queen. Sansa, like Che, catches her in the hall and threatens her life should she tell anyone, but returns to the But upon her return, discovers the Hound now knows as well. Cersei meets with Sansa to discuss her duty to Joffrey, but tells her that it will be impossible to love Joffrey, so she should just focus on loving her children. Tyrion discusses with Cersei that Stannis' fleet will be arriving in days, and the king's plan to repel them might not work. Cersei opens up and admits to Tyrion that Jaime is the father of her children, and regrets making Joffrey king, who has become mad with power, believing she is being punished for committing incest. Tyrion could do nothing but console his sister that her other two children are still fine. So, yeah.
Yeah, there's some shit written down. Let's talk about Little Princess being raped. At first, I wasn't sure what the fuck was going on there.
Yeah. Like, is it that they just cut to the wrong episode?
Well, like, a part of me... You know, once she gets on the rag, and I'm like, oh, little girl's all grown up. And then she starts panicking about it, and I'm like...
Oh, yeah, that, right, yeah. Yeah, I remember, they mentioned it once, like, in the first season, like, near the end, like, Joffrey says, like, when mother says when you have your first bleed, I'll put my children in you or something. And they just kind of, it's, like, never mentioned again.
Yeah.
So they just... It's like, hey, you're home now. What the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, the way she was hiding it, I thought maybe it had something to do with the almost rape, where I'm like, maybe she was raped?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too, actually, when I first saw that.
Yeah, and it all was due to how she was panicking to try hiding it, but I assume she was trying to hide it so she doesn't have to have sex with Joffrey now?
Pretty much.
Which, I don't blame her. I mean, the dude's going to probably punch her in the ass with something spiky.
Yeah, just donkey punch her with brass knuckles.
Yeah.
Didn't they have brass knuckles?
Or
you just have, like, on, like a knife gauntlet?
Probably. A knife gauntlet? Yes. I don't know.
He's going to get it. They're just going to, like, donkey punch her with that staff.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I kind of like Shay in this one. I like how trying to help her out. Like, she knows that. Like, she sees what happened. She kind of immediately figures out, like, oh, you don't want to fuck him. All right, so help me flip this thing over.
Yeah.
And she goes out and fucking just threatens to cut that bitch's throat if she tells anyone.
Yeah. That was pretty good.
Yeah. And it's also kind of great to hear that Cersei fucking hates Joffrey. Yeah, like, that whole speech she gave to, it was either Sansa or Tyrion, where she just said, where she's like, I really don't like Joffrey. Maybe this is a punishment.
Yeah, that was a great conversation that they had. You know, because it was... I can't really explain it. It was a really good conversation where they were like, there's something wrong with this fucking kid.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, what the fuck... You know?
Yeah, it was really great. Just actually recognizing with, like, because for a good time, like, Cersei has been like, it's like, oh, Joffrey's the king, and blah 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 blah. Now she's like, I really don't want him to be king. Which is kind of great, like, hearing her admit that that kid's a little shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was also kind of cool, like, just seeing Tyrion trying to console his sister.
Yeah, especially with how they've kind of had, like, a lot of back and forth this season.
Yeah, they've kind of been, like, antagonistic toward each other, but it's just kind of felt like they're still family.
Yeah, it was nice to see that deep down, you know, they do care about each other in some way.
Yeah. He probably doesn't care about her as much as Jamie does, but still.
Yeah, and fuck, I lost it. I had something and I lost it.
Okay. So, on to the Westerlands? It's Rob.
Where? In the Westerlands, okay.
Yeah. Okay, so, King Rob hears Alton Lannister's unfavorable reply to the peace terms he brought to Queen Cersei. Lord Roose Bolton informs Rob that his prisons are full, so Rob orders the construction of a new pen to keep Alton in, and orders him placed in Sir Jaime Lannister, until it is complete. Rob also meets with Tallissa to discuss getting her more medical supplies. Rob asks her to come with him to the Crag to see the Maester for her supplies, which he agrees to. After a long conversation, Jaime brutally kills Alton, planning to escape. When the jailer investigates, it's Jaime strangles him with his chains and flees. In the morning, he is recaptured and brought back to the Stark camp. Lord Rickard Karstark demands the Kingslayer's head in retribution for murdering his son, the jailer Torrhen. Catelyn, with the assistance of Brienne, is able to delay the execution until Rob returns from the Crag. She later visits Jaime in his pen, and after being insulted repeatedly, asks Brienne for her sword.
Yeah. And they don't show anything more, right?
No, but just, like, Brienne, can I have your sword? She just has her sword, and just, like, she's just kind of brandishing it at him.
Yeah, like, my thought is, like, just cut one of his legs off.
Yeah, or go for his dick.
Or that'll work. But, yeah, I was kind of confused here. The kid that got placed with Jaime Lannister, were they related to each other?
Yeah, they were cousins.
Okay, alright, because I thought I remember a situation where the queen said something about it being her cousin or something, so... Yeah, this scene with Jaime Lannister and him, for me, it really solidified how much of an evil person Jaime Lannister is.
Oh yeah, it was just fucking awesome, Alton just gives this whole entire, like, long speech. He's like, oh, I want Squire for me once. It was the greatest day of my life. I couldn't really tell my family about it, blah, 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 blah. And then Jaime, like, reciprocates it with his story about how he was like, oh, I gives the greatest night ever. It's like, hey, I have a plan. It's like, come here. You need to do something for me. You need to die. They just fucking, like, beats him to death.
Yeah, just brutally beats him.
Yeah. It was... You'd think he'd have a better way of killing someone. I mean, for a guy who's, like, legendary for his killing prowess, you'd think he'd have something, like, more subtle than, I'ma beat your face.
Yeah, I... Because, like, when he's, like, getting, like, real close to him and kind of whispering in his ear, I kind of knew where this was going to go. And in my head, I had him pictured of being like, you got to die. And then him just, like, break his neck.
Yeah, that's what I thought,
too. Quick and easy. And no, instead he just brutally beats the shit out of him. Slowly, painfully, agonizing death. It's like, good God, man.
Yeah, like... I am wondering, do people in this universe even know that breaking your neck kills someone?
There's a good possibility that they don't, I guess.
Yeah, because like they've never done that. Like assassins, it's always been like, I'm gonna stab you through the stomach or I'm gonna slit your throat. Never just.
Yeah.
You know, no muss, no fuss, no red stains in your armor.
Yeah, it's a possibility that like maybe we should show up and break someone's neck and they'd be like, holy shit.
It's like, we could have been doing that this whole time? And just battles, just like, everyone goes to the battle with swords, they just throw down their swords, they all just run at each other with their hands out trying to break everyone's necks.
Right.
It's the guy who wins is the guy with the toughest neck muscles.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I really like Caitlyn.
Yeah.
I want to see what she does with that sword.
Yeah, I do too. But yeah, like I said, it's like you don't need to kill him. Just take a part of him off or something. You know,
it was actually really hilarious when like Caitlin like goes up to Jamie for the first time since she got back with Brienne, and then Jamie just looks back, and is like, is that a woman?
Yeah,
like just actually like recognizing that the androgyny is actually there.
Yeah. Yeah, and I feel like what Jamie was saying to Caitlin of basically, you know, about the whole thing of Ned Stark, you know, having an illegitimate child with someone else.
Yes.
Yeah, that dude is just so cold.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she's going to go for his dick.
Something, yeah.
At least I kind of hope she does, because that would just be kind of great. You know, like, they get, like, seriously, gets back, it's like, oh, Jamie, you're all right. And then they go do it, it's like, where's your dick? And then, like, Jamie has to, like, fuck her vicariously through their cousin. So, moving on to Harrenhal. Lord Tywin Lannister orders Sir Gregor Clegane, I guess that's the mountain, to find Emery Lorch's killer, having confused the murder of Lorch with an attempt on his own life. When Clegane leaves, he invites Arya to eat with him, which he eventually does. They discuss Tywin's desire to leave a legacy and the conquest of Westeros by Aegon the Conqueror, which led to the destruction of Harrenhal. Tywin is surprised to learn that Arya knows much of Aegon and his sister wives and deduces that she is a highborn, and she says, my lord, instead of my lord. So, I do really like this. Like, I like the relationship that's developing between Arya and Tywin.
Yeah, I was thinking of that when I was watching it. I always kind of agreed with you of this being a interesting situation, but watching it in this episode, I was like, man, you know, like Divin's really right. This is really fascinating of these conversations that they're having together.
Yeah, and like one part I did really like was when so like Arya was sitting down there eating, then Tywin like goes to the window and was like facing that away from her. She just like starts focusing on his neck. Like, I have a knife. I could easily just go over there and.
Yeah.
But then she doesn't. We keeps talking about that. She actually looks like she's enjoying the conversation with him.
Yeah, I have a feeling that it's going to get to that point where she really cares for him, and probably as a father figure.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. I want to know where this is going to go.
Yeah, it's really cool, because like, even though like he is like the head of the Lannister family, he hasn't actually done anything against anyone in the family.
True, yeah.
Yeah, like, the reason that she wants Joffrey dead and the Queen is because they were involved in killing her dad. The reason she wanted, like, the Mountain and all these people that she had killed, that she's having the man killed dead, is because, like, they tortured and shit. This guy, he hasn't really done anything to antagonize her.
Right. Yeah. I think the only thing that she really has against him is being a Lannister.
Yeah. But she's getting to know him, and it's getting really cool.
Yeah, and the whole thing with her being a highborn, like, I don't know what being a highborn is.
Means you're from, like, one of the noble houses, like, from the Greyjoys, you're one of the Starks, you're one of the whoever's. Like, you're one of the houses that have a clan crest and a saying with the family. Like, Lannisters have Hear Me Roar, the Starks have Winter Is Coming.
Right.
Yeah, okay. Like, it's actually just a little bit cool when like, she's leaving, it's like, my lord, and she's like, and he says, my lord. Hand servants usually say my lord, like, only people, like, highborn say my lord. And then as she's leaving, she just, like, emphasizes her saying my lord.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really like where this is going.
Yeah, so do I. I am really fascinating on where it's going.
Yeah. So that's going to do it for this week, I guess.
Yeah, it seems like it's been a good couple episodes since we've been back to King Robert's brother and his people coming across or whatever, and whatever it is exactly they're trying to do.
Yeah. So, we're going to come back next week when we talk about episode 8, The Prince of Winterfell. Till then, I'm Dead.
And I'm Shax, and I got nothing for these. My lord.
We'll see you guys next time.